Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, you're about to get smarter in just a few minutes with Curiosity Daily from Discovery. Time flies when you're learning super cool stuff. I'm Nate.
And I'm Callie. If you're dropping in for the first time, welcome to Curiosity, where we aim to blow your mind by helping you to grow your mind. If you're a loyal listener, welcome back.
Today, you'll learn about how we learn the same information differently from people we like than from those we don't like, a drug men already take that could have incredible added benefits, and a weed that could feed a hungry world.
Without further ado, let's satisfy some curiosity. Imagine that you're taking a stroll through the grocery store and you come across a mom with the cutest little toddler you have ever seen sitting in the cart. The baby points at you and gurgles something so cute that you can't help but commit the kid to memory. Fast forward. Later that day, you're walking down the street and you see that same kid in a stroller. She recognizes you too and points and does the gurgly thing, but this time there's a man pushing the stroller. So who's this man?
Okay, wearing a scientist hat, I can't really say who it is with any certainty, but if I'm just making assumptions, it seems pretty obvious that he's probably the little girl's dad.
So you're making an inference, which is a pretty special kind of thing that makes humans able to make really huge leaps in our learning.
Of course, if we didn't make inferences like that, we'd have to spend all of our time just kind of relearning everything.
Exactly. Learning involves both individual experiences, like seeing the kid and her mom in the store, and connecting those experiences to form new inferences about the world. It's called memory integration.
It's one of those things we do automatically all the time that, you know, we totally take for granted. But now that you mention it, it's a pretty incredible function of our minds.
Absolutely. So researchers at Lund University in Sweden wanted to dig a little deeper to understand how our preferences toward others impact our ability to learn and make inferences from them.
Preferences. Like they wanted to know if we would learn better from people we like?
That's exactly right. And it goes way beyond that. So let's talk about the study and then we can get to the bigger picture. Participants were shown objects by people they either liked or disliked.
Now, hold up a second. Did the researchers find people the participants had a beef with or something? Like, how did they know they didn't like some of the people?
Okay, so I had the same thought, but no, they didn't scour their socials looking for shade. It was more about preferences. So they would be shown everyday objects like spoons and bowls by people who had subjective preferences that either matched their own or didn't. Things like political views and hobbies and lifestyle choices, that kind of thing.
Oh, so this is a little bit about tribalism. They wanted to see how well you could learn from someone from the other end of the political spectrum, for example.
That's exactly right. And they found something that might seem obvious, but has a lot of rippling effects from our society. It turns out that our fundamental memory mechanisms favor information from our preferred groups, which means that our pre-existing beliefs tend to just be reinforced, leading to more and more polarization.
Let me see if I get this. When someone we identify with tells us some kind of information, we prefer that over information from someone we don't identify with.
Not only that, but it could be the exact same information. The information itself can be neutral, but our minds form inferences about it based on who's delivering it.
So that would explain a lot of the polarization that we're experiencing in our own society, right?
Yep. Two politicians can have exactly the same proposal. On paper, you might be all for it, but if you hear the proposal from the politician from the other team, you're probably going to hate it.
Okay, I mean, this is something we all kind of intuit already, but this study is saying that it's not just people being stubborn. It's actually a mechanism of our own brains that's leading to this kind of polarization.
Oh, that's right. And that also means that someone in your in-group can lie to you and you'll probably be more likely to believe it. Those are the kinds of far-reaching implications of this study. It gets our understanding of societal divisions, the spread of misinformation, and strikes the heart of the huge challenge of communicating across ideological divides.
So it's not just what you know, but who you hear it from that shapes your world.
And that's why we all need to think about our own innate biases and focus on our own critical thinking and openness to perspectives we might not usually welcome.
You know how drug commercials, you know, like we have in America, always have that section where they list all of the possible side effects?
Yeah, okay. It's usually the longest part of the commercial.
Yeah, well, a common drug used to treat male pattern baldness and enlarged prostate in men has been found to have a pretty surprising and remarkable side effect. It may also lower cholesterol and reduce the risk of cardiovascular disease.
Huh. Okay, that's kind of the side effect you actually want.
Right. So the drug is called finasteride, also known as Propecia or Proscar. And like I said, it's been used to treat both male pattern baldness and enlarged prostate for years. But researchers from the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign wanted to know how the drug affected the cholesterol levels of those who regularly take it. And here's the thing. They actually assumed that it wouldn't be good.
Like they thought the drug would raise cholesterol levels? Okay, why is that?
Well, to put it simply, testosterone. So finasteride works by modulating testosterone. And for its known uses, it works by blocking a specific protein found in hair follicles and the prostate gland that activates testosterone. But researchers didn't really understand exactly how testosterone is linked to cardiovascular health.
Ah, which would be why they thought the effects might be adverse.
Exactly. So they analyzed data from a survey of 4,800 participants and found that men who used finasteride showed an average of 30 points lower cholesterol compared to non-users.
Okay, that seems pretty significant.
It absolutely is. But there's a catch. Out of those 4,800 participants, only 155 of them used the drug. So it was a pretty small sample size. And to make matters even more tricky, it was an observational study. In other words, it didn't have all of the scientific rigor that would make it pass muster. So they set up a new study using mice.
Okay, did the findings hold?
Not only did they hold, they also found that mice that were given a megadose of the drug had lower plasma cholesterol levels, reduced liver inflammation, and delayed atherosclerosis progression.
In other words, less liver inflammation and healthier hearts.
Better cardiovascular health in general. So this study had a few knock-on effects. The first is that researchers have a new understanding of hormonal impacts on heart health. This will lead to all new lines of inquiry and new studies they didn't anticipate. And that leads to another surprise. This finding could be especially relevant for transgender individuals.
Wait a second. Why is that?
So transgender people are at a higher risk of cardiovascular disease, probably because of the hormonal changes that occur during transition. Another side effect of transitioning is hair loss.
Wow. So this study uncovered a lot of surprises. But you mentioned that the mice were given a megadose. Is that even something humans can handle?
In short, no. But they think that humans might not need such large doses to see the effects. And of course, the evidence of that is the fact that in their observational study, they found the positive outcomes, and these participants were generally taking normal doses.
So what's the next step?
They need to do further research, of course, and they would love to conduct clinical trials. But the exciting thing is that this drug is already approved for other uses. In other words, it's safe. It's effective for its intended uses. This is just the icing on the cake.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We talk a lot about food production on this show.
Oh, absolutely. If you think about it, food is sort of important.
I mean, yeah, sort of. Like, we literally can't live without it. Plus, even if farming feels like an ancient practice, it's actually a science.
Right. I mean, there's so much to explore when it comes to food production. Everything from creating new crops that can withstand climate change to understanding the way pollution impacts pollinators. When it comes to food production, there's a ton to talk about.
And as climate change speeds up, food security is becoming a primary concern for governments everywhere. And that's why researchers have taken a second look at a weed called Carolina azolla.
I've never heard of it. What exactly is it?
So it's a water plant native to the eastern United States. It's also known as mosquito fern, fairy moss, and water fern. And it has the ability to double its biomass in only 2 days.
Wow. Okay, that is really fast growing.
And not only that, but it fixes nitrogen from the air and has been used to feed poultry and livestock for a really long time. Because of its nitrogen fixing, it can also be used as a fertilizer. Plus, it's super easy to grow with not much cultivation.
All right, so what's the catch? I mean, it sounds like a miracle crop. Why are researchers only now having another look at this stuff?
That's a great question. It's been almost totally overlooked for human consumption because, all right, most varieties of azolla are inedible for humans.
Oh, well, you know, I guess the fact that humans can't eat it is a pretty good reason for humans to not eat it.
Yeah, okay. Most varieties of azolla contain really high phenolic content, which makes it tough for our digestive systems to process. Now, you may have heard of polyphenols because they are in a lot of foods we already eat, like fruits and vegetables, and even coffee. But those foods generally have a phenolic content somewhere between, say, 1 gram and 19 grams per kilogram of dry weight. Asian and African azolla species can have as much as 69 grams per kilogram of dry weight.
That sounds like a lot.
Yes, but this research team found that Carolina azolla sits pretty with under 5 grams. If you boil it, pressure cook it, or ferment it, that number drops even lower.
In other words, Carolina azolla is edible for humans.
Yep. They say it's got sort of a little bit of a crunch to it, and it has this nice neutral flavor. But the biggest thing is that it grows like crazy without much effort, and its ability to fix nitrogen and its potential as a green fertilizer align nicely with sustainable agriculture practices and could lead to a revolution in the fight against global food insecurity.
So 10 years from now, will all that kale we've been forced to eat be replaced by good old mosquito fern?
I don't know about that, but in places where crop failure is pressing down or in regions experiencing other catastrophes, Carolina azolla can be a quick-growing, green way to feed a lot of hungry people.
Let's recap what we learned today to wrap up.
New research reveals our brains prefer learning from people we like, a phenomenon with profound implications for understanding societal polarization and knowledge resistance.
A study has found that finasteride, a drug commonly used to treat hair loss and enlarged prostate, may also significantly lower cholesterol and reduce the risk of cardiovascular disease.
Researchers have unveiled Carolina azolla, a water plant with rapid growth and nitrogen-fixing abilities, as a potentially transformative food source for humans, livestock, and poultry.
Curiosity Daily is produced by Wheelhouse DNA for Discovery.
You can follow our show wherever you get your podcasts, and we would love it if you could take a second to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.